getting out there and getting out of your comfort zone is really challenging, but also very rewarding and definitely worth it. But it does take a bit of practice to force yourself to go out and do things you're not comfortable with.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Women in Tech Podcast. We are here in Dunedin. It took me forever to pronounce that city in New Zealand, celebrating the most extraordinary women in tech. And I am so grateful to have Josephine, who's been flexible all day long and all night long as I've been trying to get from Queenstown to Dunedin in order to celebrate her. Hello, Josephine.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. Okay, let's start from the beginning. Go ahead and introduce yourself to everybody and tell them a little bit about what you do.
Okay, well, hi there. My name is Josephine Trana. I am the communication and marketing manager for a fintech startup called Price Insight. Price Insight is an AI-powered mobile application, and we do financial trading. So what we do is we provide intelligent trading opportunities presented in a simple and engaging manner. And this enables traders to quickly get a nice overview and make decisions about trading and do it with more confidence.
And now, the company is in Dunedin, New Zealand. You're in Dunedin, New Zealand, but the company was founded in Denmark and you're from Denmark, right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. So what brought you from Denmark to here? Has there been a culture shift? Tell us about that journey.
Yeah, well, actually, it was quite a long journey. It took us 4 months to get here. Well, my husband grew up in Dunedin and I'm originally from Denmark. So we've been living in Denmark for the past 10 years and at least 8 years together. And my husband founded the company about a year ago. So I kind of jumped on and joined him.
And why Dunedin?
Well, he grew up here.
So he founded the company when you were both living in Denmark.
Yeah.
And then you guys moved back, essentially relocated back to Dunedin where he grew up.
Yes,
that
exactly.
Makes sense. Yeah. What is the startup culture like in Denmark versus New Zealand?
It's definitely bigger in Denmark.
Denmark.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, there's more going on. I wasn't that much a part of it in Denmark.
Right.
So I haven't got a close look at it,
right?
But I could sense there was more going on. But Dunedin is kind of starting as well, and really putting in a lot of effort to get a really good startup community here as well. So it's growing.
I mean, a lot of people when I first arrived on the North Island in New Zealand said, "Oh, you have to make sure to make it to Dunedin. That's where the university is. That's where the tech." So it's definitely on the radar of the country that Dunedin is where it's at.
Oh, that's good to hear. Yeah, it is. I mean, it is a university city, so there's lots of students and there's a lot of things going on. So yeah. I can believe that that's probably true.
And Casey, tell us a little bit about Casey, we got connected, I think, different people told me about you. But Casey specifically, tell me about Casey and his organization.
Well, Casey runs the startup office here in Dunedin, not one of them. There's actually several, but this one is right next to the university. And they're doing a great job and it's a great workspace and great place to go and meet people. We work there every day of the week, pretty much. And it's just an amazing space, really. Just the opportunity to go somewhere.
And it's called the Startup Office.
Startup Dunedin, the distiller.
And is it a co-working space or is it a government-funded startup accelerator?
It's a funded space. I think University of Otago is funding it and the City Council. but it's a bit of a mix of startups and some more permanent people who uses the office space.
And when did you first, you know, you're surrounded by the tech community now in your life now, but it wasn't something that you were involved in right away. You said in Denmark, you weren't as part of the tech community. When did you first discover your love for technology?
Well, that's a tough question. I don't know if it's, well, it is the technology, but it's also just the whole process of learning something new and challenge myself. And yeah, the entrepreneurship and the journey is really exciting. I used to work in a laboratory and there was also technology, but yeah, in a different sense. It was more medical equipment and for analysis.
Right.
So I always kind of liked to play with the machinery. And I kind of have been watching my husband doing tech startups and, you know, kind of asking him about it and kind of find it really interesting, especially because we're working on artificial intelligence and it's quite fascinating.
I mean, AI is really complicated technology. How'd you learn how to communicate it? I'm having a hard time communicating it right now.
Yeah, well, it is quite difficult and I have read a lot and I have really there's still a lot I don't understand about how AI works. Basically, I mean, it's a lot of different softwares and things that put it all together and it's quite difficult to comprehend, really. So I have been studying it a lot. I can't code it or anything like that, but I kind of get an overall understanding of how it works. And I have been working on some of our promoting material, like the white paper, which meant I really needed to actually understand a bit more about the artificial intelligence that we use. So I have just learned by reading and studying it, really.
What tips would you give us for those of us who want to get interested into AI and know nothing? Where should we start? Is there a blog or a book or YouTube videos?
Yeah, I guess YouTube videos is a good way to learn. Also, there's some videos that make it a little simpler and easier to understand. Some of the 2-minute videos and things you can find on YouTube definitely makes it a little easier to get into it.
What's one challenge that was really daunting for you that you successfully overcame? And then what did you learn from it?
Probably, I mean, there's a lot of challenges, especially being a startup. And there's a lot of things that are uncomfortable and that you don't necessarily want to do, but you have to do. And so just the whole mindset, I mean, changing your whole mindset of getting out there and getting out of your comfort zone is really challenging, but also very rewarding and definitely worth it. But it does take a bit of practice to force yourself to go out and do things you're not comfortable with.
Totally.
So that's probably the biggest challenge, to actually do these things.
And you probably ask a lot of questions. You're lucky that you're able, that your husband's the co-founder, that you're probably a little bit more comfortable asking him questions, where maybe someone in a different position would feel like, oh, I may not look smart enough if I ask questions. And so asking questions, how much has that benefited you in your learning process?
I think it's really important to ask questions, really. And even though my husband is the co-founder, he's not necessarily the one who knows most about some of the things. And so you also need to ask some of the other people. And I know he also does that. He finds people who can do the things he can't do.
Right.
So it's also about asking the right people and asking questions is part of it. And not being afraid to ask is, I think, essential to get the right answers and the answers you're looking for.
I meet a lot of wonderful women in tech who work together in their companies with their partners, which I find awesome stories to tell. What are some insights you could give us on how the both of you make it work?
Well, we have different tasks, and I think that's important. We know what our tasks are. Of course, we work together, but we also work separately. So not everything we do together, we have each of our things we need to do. And my focus is definitely more in the marketing area. And my husband works more in managing and taking care of the development and the tech stuff. So I think also keeping things separate
totally
is quite important there.
Totally. Like really understanding each of your roles and how they differ and letting each one of you do what you're best at.
Yeah.
Tell us more about the company. Who does it serve? Where do you want to see it headed in the next year?
Well, the company is, as I said earlier, we're an AI company. So we base our product,
which is artificial intelligence. Yes. In case you guys didn't pick that up, like right from the get, I should have said that sooner.
So our product is aimed at traders in financial trading. And what we do is we use artificial intelligence to generate trading opportunities. Then on top of that, we actually use the next generation of artificial intelligence called explainable artificial intelligence, XAI, which makes it easier for our users to actually understand the predictions we make. So this gives better insight into how the machine came to a prediction or conclusion. And I think that's really one of the key aspects of our product, is that we will provide explanations and essentially better reasons to make a trade or, yeah, misunderstanding.
I mean, essentially the reason for your company's existence is to help people make more money.
I guess you
say it like which that. Is not a bad thing, right? Am I wrong?
Well, people are trading and they do spend a lot of time actually analyzing market data and figuring out what they want to trade, when they want to trade, how to do it. And it's really time consuming.
Yeah.
And we want to cut off some of that time, make it easier, make it simpler.
Totally.
And which is also why it's a mobile app, because you want to be able to do it when you're on the way to work or whatever, where you are, and just simple and quickly get a good overview, say, oh, this is a trading opportunity, should I trade? And also give you a good understanding if this is actually a good reason to trade or not, which is why we use the explainable artificial intelligence to make it a lot easier to quickly make a decision, but also to gain confidence. It's easier to trust something if you have a good reason to trust it, if you can see that it makes sense what it says.
Totally. Where can people find out more about the company online?
Well, you can go to priceinsight.trade.
Can you spell it for us?
Yeah. PRICEINSIGHT.trade. TRADE.
Perfect. And are you guys on social?
A little bit.
But really, the website's where it's at. And how can people connect with you?
Well, they can reach me through the website. I am on LinkedIn as well and Facebook.
Can you spell your name for everybody for LinkedIn?
I can, but it's long. So my name, Josephine Camille Trana, JOSEFINE. KAMILLETRANA.
Oh, you know, no big deal. And Josephine, one last question, or like two last questions. One, your favorite tech tool can be a website, can be a resource, can be an app, a mobile app. What's your fave?
I spend a lot of time doing online courses, mainly because I find that it's a really good.
Is there a certain organization you use?
That's different, but the Open University has quite a lot of free courses and all sorts of areas, and that's really valuable.
It's just openuniversity.com?
Yeah, I think that one, and maybe it's UK because it's a UK-based company.
So you guys Google Open University, and Carl, our amazing teammate working on the show notes, please Google Open University to see the exact URL. We'll include it all in the show notes.
Definitely some good courses there if people are interested in learning something new.
And your favorite book?
My favorite
book. Personal or professional, yeah.
Ooh, I'm reading a really good book called The Emperor of All Maladies, which is a nonfiction book about the story of cancer, and it's very exciting. It's really good, but it's kind of told like a story. So yeah, it's very, very good book.
Awesome. We'll include that in the show notes too. Josephine, thank you so much for hanging out with the Women in Tech podcast, for being so flexible. You guys remember to say hello on Women in Tech socials at Women in Tech Show on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter. I will see you guys, talk to you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
Traveling New Zealand, featuring and celebrating amazing women in tech all across the North Island and South Island, I came across James with Werewolf, and man, was he helpful in connecting me to the women in tech community in order to enable me to empower these incredible women to move forward. So just passionate about women in tech.
My name is James Burns. I'm Chief Marketing Officer at Werewolf, the app for venture tourism operators. I've had the pleasure of working for a lot of really smart women, and both in tech and outside of tech. And it's just generally been my experience over the last 20 years that there's not nearly enough women's voices in leadership roles in tech companies. And so I just think it's important that we have that sort of voice. Myself, I have two young daughters who today are 4 and 6. And I want to make sure that when they get to an age where they're ready to start their first company, that they have all the opportunity and support they need. Werewolf makes it easy for adventure tourism operators, everything from skydiving companies and bungee operators to jet boating and rafting companies, to go paperless, to handle the guests from arrival all the way through departure, check them in through a really beautiful custom-branded iPad app, ask them a lot of key questions, take that data to build a customer marketing database. Werewolf was recognized by Deloitte in their Fast 50 Awards for this year as the rising star one to watch. And as we move to the United States, it's really important that we continue to capitalize on the kind of growth that we've experienced over the last 3 years. And we're doubling, tripling the size of the company annually. Queenstown is the adventure capital of the world. Right, we have 150 plus adventure tourism operators just within a 10-minute drive of where we're sitting right now. Any activity you can think of you'd want to do, you can do it. Bungee jumping was invented here. Jet boating was invented here. I mean, there's so much that happens here. There's so much innovation around the adventure topic that we're really primed well to leverage that. And that's no better place for us to be based.
Be sure to explore more about Werewolf at getwerewolf.com. That's GETWHEREWOLF.com. The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.